Well, good morning. This morning, our movie is Transformers. And so what better transformation than talking about the transformation that one makes when he or she becomes a Christ follower? And so we're going to look back to a time right after Jesus ascended into heaven, and his followers are being persecuted in Jerusalem. And so amongst this persecution, a man by the name of Philip, who was one of the helpers that the disciples appointed, left Jerusalem because of the persecution and arrived in Samaria. And when he was in Samaria, he was preaching the good news. And we read in Acts 8 that the crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims. And many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. So Philip was one of the men who was chosen by the disciples to do the work of the Lord, and he was preaching, and he was obeying God and doing what God had called him to do by preaching to people. He had fled Jerusalem because of the persecution, but he continued the work of the Lord while he was in Samaria. And the results of his ministry were great. It says, in verse 12, but now the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. So Philip was being effective as an evangelist. People were believing the message of Christ that he was preaching, and he was doing what God had called him to do, as we are to do what God has called us to do, no matter what that is. So as he was doing this, he was called by the Holy Spirit to go do something else. And he was called by the angel of the Lord to, in verse 26, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. So the first thing that we learn about Philip in our main text today is that he's obedient to God. And we see that in that he's continuing to preach. Even though he faced that persecution in Jerusalem, he's come to Samaria. And now he's been told by the angel of the Lord to go out to the desert. Now, most of us, if we were going to the desert, would probably think about packing first and maybe bring some water or something like that. But we don't read any of that about Philip. We read that Philip started out. Philip went when he was called. He was obedient to the calling of the Lord. And there he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. Now, a eunuch was a man set apart by God. He was set apart for service to the kingdom. He was not able to have children. He was not able to have a family. He was totally dedicated to his job. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and now he was returning. So the eunuch had some spiritual inkling to him. He had traveled a great distance from Ethiopia to Jerusalem in order to find out more about God, to learn more about God. But he wanted to know more. And so in order to go and learn more, he went to Jerusalem, where the temple was. Now, as a eunuch, he most likely would not have been able to enter the temple or to worship with the Jews at that time. But seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And again, we see that now we know a little bit more about the eunuch, that he was probably wealthy, probably well-to-do, because they didn't have Bibles like we have Bibles today. In order to own a piece of Scripture, it would have cost him a great deal of money to have that with him. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk alongside beside the carriage. And he gets the instructions from God, and what does he do? It says Philip ran over. He runs over to the carriage. He's completely obedient to what God's calling. And he heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? The man replied, how can I, unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. So Philip has just walked up on a total stranger, someone obviously from a different country, someone from a different culture, someone who was clearly wealthy and more educated than him, most likely. And he was able to have this conversation with him. And he starts the conversation and he says, the passage of Scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Now, this is passages coming from Isaiah 53, a passage talking about Jesus as the Messiah, the coming one, the promised one of Israel. But the eunuch didn't know at that time that he was talking about Jesus, and that's why he's asking. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. So what I want to do this morning is journey through what Philip may have been talking to the eunuch about. Because what is the one thing that we say over and over about context? Context? Context is king. So we want to check and see what's the context of this Isaiah 53 passage. So let's look at Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant, who is Jesus, grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him, and he looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Jesus was mocked, he was beaten, he was despised, people hated him, and people didn't care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. When Jesus went to the cross, our sins are what was on his mind. That was what he was paying for on the cross. That was what kept him on the cross, paying for our sins and that mission of saving his people from their sins. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. Remember, the Jews believed that if you were crucified, you were condemned to hell. So by crucifying him on a cross, they were effectively saying, Jesus, you're going to hell because of this blasphemy that you speak. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Jesus does this for us, and what is the response of the people of the time? They say, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have left God's paths to follow our own. We have all sinned. This response to the gift of salvation that Jesus offers, what do we do with it? We stray. We don't stay true to Christ. We stray away from the calling that Christ has given us. We have all sinned. Yet the Lord still laid on him the sins of us all. Jesus was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, meaning that he was not guilty of any crime, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. The people had turned their back to God over and over through their history. And as Christ followers today and as people today, we still turn our back to him over and over again. Yet he had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. Jesus was perfect. He was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. See, Jesus' death was part of God's plan to save his people from their sins, to save us from our sins. Yet when his life is made an offering for his sin, he will have many descendants, because those of us who follow Christ become his children, become his descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. Jesus is satisfied with his gift. He is satisfied with his sacrifice, because he knows that people will follow him and accept that gift of salvation. And so to him, it's worth it. If just one person follows him and believes in him and has that everlasting life, for Jesus, that is worth it. That is worth his sacrifice. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. Jesus takes that sin that separates us from God, and through his sacrifice, he conquers death. And pays for that death, pays for that sin on the cross. That's the gist of the message that Philip would have been sharing with this Ethiopian eunuch. He'd be sharing the whole story of the gospel, the whole story of what Jesus, the Messiah, had come and done for his people. He would have shared with him about Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection. And then we read, jumping back to Acts, that as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So what's the proper response to the gospel messages we learned through Isaiah? The proper response, according to Philip, is to be baptized. Philip shared the gospel with the message with the eunuch, and his response, his affirmation of his faith, was to be baptized. So do you believe the message of salvation found in Isaiah 53? Do you believe that you're a sinner? Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of a Savior? Do you understand that there is a penalty for your sin? Because that penalty for your sin is death, and death eternal. But Jesus paid that price. Jesus paid the price on the cross. And so when you believe that and you understand that, the next step, the response to that, is to be baptized. Now, baptism is symbolic of what Jesus did on the cross. You go under the water as Jesus died. And then you are coming out of the water as Jesus was raised to life. It's also symbolic of what happens within each of us. You die to the control of the sin nature. And you rise up to the newness of life found in Christ Jesus our Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. That new nature is one that's controlled by the Holy Spirit that allows you to live a life full of life and love. You can have the salvation offered by the eunuch, offered to the eunuch that day. Philip is not here today, but the words of Isaiah are here, and the response of the eunuch is clear. But not only is baptism the response to that, but it's also a commitment on your part. It's a commitment on your part to follow Christ and to publicly say, "I will follow Jesus no matter the cost." God could call you like he called Philip and send you to another country, to send you to a foreigner or someone who isn't from your culture, to preach the message of the gospel. And we have a perfect picture of the gospel message in Isaiah. But the commitment that you make at baptism is that you are going to be living under the lordship of Christ, making him Lord and ruler of your life. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Sometimes we need to remember the gospel message that has called each one of us. Because sometimes we forget. We get so busy and caught up in life that we forget the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And we need to remember back to our day of baptism, back to our day of salvation, and remember the commitment that we made to follow Christ no matter the cost. Now, after the eunuch was baptized, it says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Baptism is a celebration. It's a celebration of your commitment to Christ. And rejoicing is a proper response to baptism. That's why when we have baptisms here, we clap and applaud and hoot and holler. Because it's a great day. It's a great time to recognize that people are making that commitment to follow Christ no matter the cost. Will you pray with me? God, our Father, we just thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. And we pray that each person would come to know that saving grace, that saving love, that saving sacrifice that your Son, our Savior, made on the cross that day. I pray that as we go through our daily lives, we would never forget the sacrifice that you made and the commitment that we made at our baptism to follow you, and to live our lives differently, to repent, to turn away from our sins, and to follow you throughout wherever you may call us. God, may you be blessed and glorified by our lives and by the things that we do as we seek to serve and honor you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.